and welcome to episode 267, the final episode of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to give your friend a proper hug after a 10-year project together. This week, we are saying goodbye to the show and to you, our listeners. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, Color Jam and Rosetta 2nd Edition. Then, we reminisce about our 10 years podcasting and honestly kind of just blab for a little bit. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambi
and Crystal. One quick announcement before we hop into the episode, and that's that this is the last episode. If you hadn't figured that out by now, welcome! It's the last episode. And also, look at us! We're here together in person!
Yay!
That's
so weird.
Pretty exciting. We don't do this very often, even though it's been 10 years. It's less than a handful of times that we've had the opportunity to record together in person, for the podcast at least.
Yeah, so if you're watching the video, you can tell. If you're just listening to the audio might be different than usual.
Yeah, different microphones, different location. My living room is not particularly soundproofed because, well, it's my living room. And we've got at least one doggo already on the video because Helly wanted to come hang out. So if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're a dog person, just know, I'm telling you now, there's dogs. So you should go watch it on YouTube and enjoy the fluffiness.
Yeah. Recently, I got a review preview copy print and play of Color Jam. I don't have a box because it's just a print and play, but it's a coloring page book, or not book, coloring game. So Color Jam is designed by Jean Koo and Joe Kell, illustrated by Aaron Lau. But it's basically kind of like a color by numbers. It's solo or cooperative. Oh, it's published by Lunar Punk Games. It's gonna be on Kickstarter in September, I believe. But yeah, I wasn't sure if I was gonna be able to like play it and talk about it in the podcast, but I wanted to try it out because I was thinking maybe I could play it with my kids. It's a coloring game. But basically it's like color by numbers kind of, but then the numbers change. So you have six colored pencils or markers or whatever. I did one last night at the hotel with just like highlighters.
It's very pretty.
Midliners.
Wow, those are, that's highlighters?
Midliners.
Okay, like, but still.
Pastel-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch of different coloring pages that I got. So different themes and stuff. And they have numbers, like sections with numbers on them, 1 through 4. And then you get six colors that you choose, and you say they're 1 through 6. The one on the left is 1, and the one on the right is 6. And so you pick each turn or whatever, each coloring session part, you're gonna pick one of the numbers and color it in that number part. So you're like, if number 2 is orange, then you can color in a number 2 orange, or you pick either one of them. But then the number that you pick goes over to the right and becomes number 6, and like all the colors shift over. So the colors change which number they are. And then you're kind of like planning ahead to try to get certain colors, certain things. You don't have to go for any goals. It can just be like, it ends up being kind of random colors sometimes, or each one has like a couple of goals depending on what the sheet is. So like the one I did has a unicorn and a castle and a bridge and a waterfall, and the goal says unveil the secret of the waterfalls or give the castle an intense aura. And then you can make up your own goals too. I wanted to make a rainbow in the
I
waterfall.
Saw that. I was like, ooh, you made your waterfall a rainbow.
Yeah, so I did that successfully. And my unicorn is like 2 separate colors, but that's okay.
I mean, yeah, well, it doesn't look like a real unicorn, but sure.
Yeah. So yeah, there's different ones. There's like this one with space, and it says like, give the rocket ship an astronaut matching colors. That's a goal. But you don't have to do the goals. You can just play for fun. Actually, last night when I was playing, I was trying to do it without goals, because the first time I played, I went for the goals. I was like planning ahead and I got them, and my kid actually joined me when I was playing it. I tried to play a solo game the first time. My kid's like, oh, I want to come play and color. And I was using his coloring pencils. And so, yeah, he joined and he was coloring. And then he was also like making choices of what color he wanted. So that was fun, just like switching off coloring with him. Like he'd color one and then I would color one. But yeah, it works solo too. And I was thinking, oh, I can just do it as like a relaxing thing, coloring thing. Because I don't color that often. This has made me want to color more.
And then making me want to color, and I don't even think I would like coloring at this point in my life. I feel like it would be too tedious for my brain the way it currently operates, but I love the idea of coloring.
I know. Same here. Like, I saw some coloring books that I was thinking of, like, at Barnes & Noble, and I was like, oh, maybe I could get a coloring book, because then I like coloring. But then I'm like, do I like coloring, though? I feel like I get bored. But then with this game, I enjoyed it more than I thought, because, like, you're not just coloring. You have goals, and you're trying to do the goals, and then the colors change. So it kind of helps with your choices of coloring, I think. Like, I think maybe when I'm just coloring by myself, like, I'm sometimes not sure what color to do where and stuff. But here it helps you because you have just 6 colors, so it's a limited palette. And then the numbers only go up to 4 on here. So you're just looking at those ones like, okay, which one do I want? Do I want this? And then you're kind of like have a goal of or an idea of what you want. So having the goal there kind of helps make the coloring more fun for me, I guess.
I honestly, like, that makes sense. No, it's kind of like the idea at this point in my life of a paint by number feels better than a regular coloring book, sheet because it may still be tedious, but it's like deliberate tediousness and I don't have to make decisions. Cause if I had to make decisions, I feel like I would just rather just like draw my own art at that point, right? Like I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, in Color Jam, like you are making decisions though. But then it's like game.
Yeah. Like not just goals. Aesthetic choices.
Yeah. So you're going for the goals. So I enjoyed it. And so it works as solo or as a cooperative activity where you're working together or like switching off which colors you pick and stuff. And it actually worked well. Like it went pretty fast because then when my kid was coloring, while he was coloring, I could pick the next one because I know that his one goes over to the 6 and there's only like the 1 through 4 are the numbers that you can pick. So I didn't have to use his color. I would always use a different color than what he was using after him.
Nice.
So like, cause he would take longer to color than me sometimes. And so, or I would take longer to color than him or something. So then like we could be simultaneously coloring, which was nice.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's Color Jam. It's going to be on Kickstarter, I think. And I think it's going to be Print and Play.
And it looks like you can go to lunarpunk.games and sign up for launch updates about when it goes to Kickstarter.
Yeah, lunarpunk.games/colorjam.
/colorjam, okay.
Yeah, so that's Color Jam.
All right, y'all, it's time. Rosetta, second edition. This is so exciting for so many reasons. Everyone that's been here for a while knows how much Ambi and I loved the first edition of Rosetta, which was originally published by Story Machine Games. And then we kind of just built a working relationship with the people that were previously at Story Machine. And when we heard that they were shutting down their company a few years back, we were a little heartbroken. Because this is a game that we both really love and we knew that it wouldn't be available anymore. I bought 6 copies at that point and I've given all of them away like long ago. Like they disappeared so fast because I basically, anytime I taught this game to somebody and they liked it at all, I was basically like, and now you own it because I knew they...
Wait, so do you still have?
Nope.
You don't have?
I mean, I have my original. Okay. I have my copy.
Okay.
But all the extras I bought, I'm pretty sure are gone at this point. Unless there's one like hiding somewhere. Whereas I still have extra copies of Strike. But of course, I've kept those for Strike tournament purposes mostly. I've given us a couple of them away. But so to make a long story kind of still long, Story Machine Games turned into DVC Games. We've covered some of their other games in the past, including on our last episode where we talked about Playthings. But yes, they've republished Rosetta as a second edition, and there's more in here than there was originally. Would you like me to show you, Ambi? We're here together. I can actually do that. So the biggest new addition to Rosetta is the campaign book. So in the campaign book, basically this takes all of the difficulty out of Rosetta for somebody who doesn't feel like they're creatively minded enough.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That was my problem.
I'm going to spoil it for Ambi, but I'm not going to spoil it for you guys quite as much. I guess I could show it from a distance. But basically, each page of the book has a specific symbol that you pull out of the deck, a specific location that you pull out of the deck, and then it tells you what previous knowledge already exists about this civilization, and it also tells you which of the ability cards to pull out as well. So like everything is chosen for you up front. You don't have to make any decisions. Like, you know what the symbol means. Okay. So actually, it was funny because I played this with some friends and I was like, oh, I want to try the campaign book. And then I did it and I was like, oh, it's like for somebody like me, this is not as interesting. Because, but I still did get to be creative because in the course of the game, when they give a word that is not the word, you still have to draw it in the language. And if it's not listed here in the previous knowledge, because there's a bunch of glyphs present, if it's not there, you still have to make it up, which I was able to do. So one of the glyphs here for this page is animal. And I think they did like prey or, oh, it's carrion. Like the, you're the source of the hunt. It got weird. It always gets weird in this game. And so I drew the symbol for the animal that's in here. And then like I put an X through its head, basically. So I was like, and it's dead now, which was funny. But yeah, this essentially takes kind of a lot of the heavy lifting off of the author to come up with everything on their own from scratch, essentially. And there's so much in the campaign book. Like, there's...
Does the order matter? Like, just individual things?
They're just individual things. I have not specifically looked at... Like, I want to be able to have other people use this with me, because I love being the author, but not everybody does. But similar to first edition, you have a bunch of ability cards, you've got location cards, and then all the glyph cards. And there's more, there's way more glyphs in this version than there were in the original. Or maybe not way more, but there's definitely more. Some of them are familiar, some of them are new, I believe, but they all look awesome as per usual. There is a token for the author, even though like that makes, like it's not like you're ever gonna forget, but they literally made a tiny like Rosetta Stone essentially, which I think is adorable. But yeah, all the other cards are gonna be very similar to what you've seen before if you've played the game. The campaign book I think is a really lovely addition. I think that's gonna make the game more approachable for some, for people who may otherwise have been a little too scared to try it out. And it'll hopefully make it hit my table more, because not everybody in my group, like not, this is not necessarily their type of game, but it's mine. And I feel like if I don't want to be the author every time, now I have a way to pass it off to somebody else and they won't feel quite as stressed about it. So DVC, I know you wanted my thoughts on second edition of Rosetta, and I love it, unsurprisingly. So I'm so grateful that DVC sent this over to me, even though they know I already own regular Rosetta. And Rosetta, both first and second edition, were unearthed by Jasper Beatrix. You know, this was found, right? Like all this, the language. Oh, yes. No, it was designed by Jasper and decorated by Michaela Dawn and then published by DVC. So yeah, I'll never stop recommending this game as far as I'm concerned. And I just wanted to give it a little bit more love before we ended the show, since it's one of my all-time favies. So that is Rosetta, second edition. First off, I wanted to give just like a broad thank you to everybody who has been reaching out to us over the past like couple of months. We are still, I think, very solid in that this was the right time to end the show. Like it's kind of come to its natural conclusion as far as we're concerned. And I was hopeful that it still held meaning for some people, but I honestly had no idea. Like, we've gotten a lot of really lovely comments. I would shout out people by name, but I know I'll forget, so I don't really want to do that. But like, I know we inspired other podcasts to start, which is a little bit wild. Like there was one of our Blitzketeers friends of the show, he and his daughter started a podcast together kind of because of us. Like, and I think the seeing kids getting into it is especially neat, because that's something that we had never even really fathomed when we started this, right? Like, we were trying to be more representative of women in the hobby space, and we've, I think, ended up representing a lot of different groups and reaching out to different groups as a result of that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot more people in the hobby now, which is nice. Or like visible in the hobby.
Yes.
Like,
Yes.
There were people.
Gaming has always been a hobby populated by diverse peoples, but more diverse voices have come to the forefront, gotten more attention, and been lifted up by the community. And I'm not saying we're responsible for that by any means. I think we're maybe one very small piece of that puzzle, but it is one of the reasons we started the show in the first place. In 2015, when we met, there were no board game podcasts hosted by women. None. Like that, 2015, I mean, it was simultaneously a very long time ago and not at all very long ago. I mean, podcasting had been around kind of since what, like mid-2000s, like-ish?
I don't know. I didn't really listen to podcasts.
Yeah, because the iPod is where podcasting like really kind of, so it had been probably a decade of general podcasting, and a lot of hobbies have a lot of podcasts, but board games had a lot of podcasts already at that point. And the fact that there were none by women just felt wrong. And now you can go to any number of social media platforms, and I say social media kind of broadly because that really does include, I think, YouTube and TikTok and other platforms like that, even though it's less, a little less social media, they've all kind of turned into content farms.
Yeah.
Like short form video is everywhere now.
Instagram.
And yeah, like. Which we could, again, we couldn't have even guessed that that would be a thing. I mean, I used to be so active on Twitter, even with the Blitz account, and had to like give that up at one point. So the way we engage with our listeners has changed over the years as well. I'm kind of just blabbing. Do you have some thoughts?
My mind is blank. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, things have changed a lot. But we've had a lot of fun doing the podcast.
We really have. I think you and I, we likely would have crossed paths and potentially met. Well, like it depends, right? Like we've both gone to board game conventions.
That's
and
true.
So I think it is within the realm of possibility that we would have met one another.
Yeah. But I mean, the games that we usually play aren't like...
Are different.
So we might not have like played a game together.
Or yeah.
Like...
And at least you used to be very shy at conventions.
I'm still very shy.
You're a little less shy, just a little. And I, for the record, being
maybe
shy is fine. Maybe.
Because I know you.
That's I guess
I'm
that's true.
I'm a little
true.
Less shy saying hi to you, yes.
Also, I'm just so loud that like I just envelop people into my bubble. I'm just like, you exist here now. I've literally adopted introverts at multiple conventions and been like, you're my buddy, you're coming with me. And usually the introverts are very grateful for this. So for the record, always with consent. Like I don't just like abduct people at a convention. But
so the podcast I don't know, like without the podcast, a lot of people I probably would have not met.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a big thing to say, but I think the podcast has made me a better person. It has forced me to think more critically about things that I am speaking about. You know, that applies to games here, but I think it has kind of transcended games for me in my personal life because my brain is now just wired to be a little bit more thoughtful in how I consider and critique things, potentially, remembering that there is always another human on the other side of most stuff, right? So if we get on here and say, X game is horrible and you shouldn't play it and whoever made it is a bad, like we would never do that because first off, opinions are subjective. We can't say a game is horrible. We can say we don't like it, but I mean, there are some games that are a little like, but you know, generally all games exist for a reason. They, somebody created them with love and...
Yeah, I guess it's helped us like look at who a game is for more. Like if I don't like a game, you're just like, okay, I don't like it. That's it. But because of the podcast, if we're like talking about it on the podcast, and you just think more about who the game could be for if you don't like it.
That's absolutely true. I agree. It's also, I think, broadened my board game taste quite a bit.
Yeah.
I still tend to love the things I love, but I've tried things that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. 18XX being a really good example of that. I did. I played an 18XX game.
Yep.
And I will never do it again. I won even, but that was with a lot of strategic help from Toby. So really Toby won that game is what that boils down to. But it is fun to say that I only played one and I won and I'm done now.
Yeah.
I quit while I was ahead. And I think your love of like dexterity style games, especially the kind of stuff they have at BGG Con, I think that rubbed off on me as well. I've always enjoyed kitschy or like quirky things, but like when we were at BGG Con together one year, like seeing you get so excited about the dexterity game section, I was like, now I'm excited about it. Like, and it wasn't even something that was really on my radar because I hadn't been to BGG Con before. So I think you've influenced my game taste a little bit, which is nice. I like being a more diverse gamer, or at least being willing to look at things that I maybe wouldn't have before.
Yeah, same here, yeah. And like hearing games that you talk about, and then they're like, okay, add it to my wanted playlist, and like, which is still always growing. And but yeah, with both the podcast and YouTube videos too, I like got into more games that I usually wouldn't play. Like I tried out solo games, and I found out I don't like solo games that much, but then I still will play them sometimes for the podcast or for making a video or something. And like when we did Twitch streaming too.
Yeah, and we've gotten to meet so many amazing people because of the podcast. Like, again, we might have met them otherwise, but, you know, we've gotten to meet some of our content creation heroes over the years. We've gotten to meet gamers galore from all parts of the world. Like, Dave and Ilka Luza, shout out to, I know I wasn't going to name anybody, but Dave gets a shout out specifically for Atmosphere, because, like, seeing a man from Germany get right up next to a television to listen to the gatekeeper in Nightmare and then get jump scared by him. Those are core memories for me. And I have so many really lovely memories of conventions and online events. Like, it didn't even have to be in-person stuff, because there are plenty of people who aren't able to travel to conventions. And especially when it comes to online, are like the Blitzketeer community. Yeah. We started with a Slack channel that was specifically for people who supported us on our Patreon originally. Mm-hmm. And then I think around pandemic times, we switched over from Slack to Discord, which I do think, I used to hate Discord and now I use it every day. It's very strange. But we also at that point opened up our community, our online community, to everyone. Mm-hmm. So paid supporters still get perks, but we allowed other people to join the community as well. And that was probably one of the best decisions we've ever made, because our Discord is now populated by a variety of people of all ages from all over the world. It is a very welcome and inclusive place, and it is a safe place to go and hang out and play games anytime you want, basically. Like, we have people that just pop up and say, hey, does anybody want to play X, Y, Z today, tomorrow, whenever? And usually somebody says yes. So I love that we've created a space where people can find other people who love games like they do.
Yeah, I wish I liked playing games online.
I mean, hey, that's, you know, we've all got our specific little quirks and whatnot. Even though this is the last episode of the podcast, mm-hmm. the Board Game Blitz YouTube channel is not going anywhere. So, Ambi, do you want to talk about maybe what you potentially have planned for the future of the YouTube channel?
Well, I don't plan that far ahead, but
it's going to exist, yes. Basically.
It's going to exist. I still, like, I do monthly videos of what I've been playing recently, or what I've played in the previous month. So I, like, always go over highlights from the previous month, my stats, because I log all my plays. So I do that every month, and then I've been covering children's games, so I have some more children's games to cover, doing game overviews. I might do some more reviews now, since I'm not doing the podcast anymore, so I might start doing some, like, reviews of actual games. I did one review of Cozy Stickerville.
Nice.
That was my second, like, official review.
Yep.
So I might start doing more reviews, or maybe, like, more overviews of non-children's games, too. I don't know.
Wherever the wind takes you, basically. Yeah.
I do have ideas for more, like, list videos. I'm thinking of doing a list of escape room games to play with your kids.
Ooh.
Escape room board games.
I like that. Like,
yeah. I had a list of, like, 12 escape room board games you should play. And so I'm, like, trying to think, 12 escape room board games you should play with your kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm getting a list there, because I've been playing a lot of escape room games with my kids.
Yeah, well, your kiddos like real escape rooms, too.
Yes, we did two today.
You did two today?
In a row.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And we are going to keep the social media pages for Board Game Blitz on and active. I don't know with what frequency we will be posting to those necessarily. Yeah. I probably will still occasionally, like, take pictures at game days and post things. And it's funny, in the past, I've kind of occasionally withheld some of that from social media because I wanted to talk about things on the podcast and I didn't want to, like, completely spoil it. Like, oh my God, this game is amazing. and then on the podcast be like, here's my review of this. Spoiler alert, I liked it. So yeah, I might post a little bit more on social media. Our Discord community is going to stay active. I'm in there every day. We've got a lot of people who are active in there all the time, and that's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're not in our Discord and you do enjoy playing games online with other people, both board games and video games, it's a good place to come hang out occasionally. So do we have any advice that we would like to impart to our listeners, to other board game podcasters that are going to be taking the torch from us and running with it beyond? What are your thoughts? What do you want to leave people with, I guess?
Have fun playing board games.
Don't take things too seriously.
Yeah.
Podcasting, gaming, a single game, anything. It's not worth stressing over.
It's for fun. You want to make sure you're having a good time with it. And like, if it stops being fun, or if it starts getting too stressful and stuff, then you might want to take a break or think about why you're doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah. I'm glad that we didn't necessarily get to that point with the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we were still happily recording together when I came to Ambi. I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, I don't know how to tell her. But when did I first present to you the idea of us ending the show? I feel like it was like January.
Yeah, I wanted to say January or February. I'm not
ish. Because it was one of those things. It had been in my head for a few months at that point. Already. And it was one of those things where I just wasn't sure. I was like, do I actually want to not do this anymore? Because one of my friends actually asked me, they were like, is it going to be weird not hanging out with Ambi all the time? And I was like, yeah. I was like, we've literally hung out for an hour or more.
Every couple weeks.
Every 2 weeks-ish for 10 years.
Yeah,
like, I've talked to you more than many friends in my life that I would generally have considered to be closer friends to me than you at that point.
Yeah.
But like, you and I were very regular.
We've got scheduled talking time.
We never lost an episode. Like, we never lost audio completely. We never had to throw anything out. We never missed an episode release date ever, which is all credit to you because you're the one doing the editing and the uploading. And that's still wild to me because like, podcasters miss dates. Life happens. But we were just trying not to, and somehow
life doesn't happen to me.
Marriage, divorce, twins, microphone mishaps, it does not matter. You can throw anything at us, and apparently we'll still release podcast episodes.
Yeah, but it will be weird. Gotta schedule talking time without podcasts.
It is, and for the record, it's funny. It's also awkward for us to be in the same room together while we're talking. Like, as much as we've spent so much time together, we haven't actually spent much time in the same room. So, like, even though you and I are super close in a lot of ways, it's different.
Yeah, we're an online friendship.
We are. We're an online friendship.
Yeah.
And we just happen to see each other in person every now and then. The introvert and the extrovert. Just wait till we drop our musical album. That's we have at least a parody of a musical album visually that we're working on.
Hey, we've done a few songs.
We have.
Like, in the past.
Yeah, we've done some parody work together in addition to all the parodies you've done on your own. So if people have not seen the song parodies that we've done over the years, that is definitely something to go check out on YouTube. Yeah, you wrote most of them. I think I only wrote in mostly entirety one of the songs we did, the Rent parody. I think that's the only one. I think so.
I thought you did the Weird Game themes one.
Oh, I did that one too.
I think Rent was a co-op.
Yeah, maybe.
Co-op.
Co-op parody.
Yeah.
That's the one where I broke my poker table because I climbed on top of it, and you should not do that with a folding table, but it was worth it for the video. I don't know what else to say. It's hard to end this, even if it's the right thing and it feels like the right thing and we know it's the right thing. I am going to miss you.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you too.
Like, we've spent a lot of time together and we're going to
still be in Discord.
We can still talk literally anytime we want. Like, we can message each other anytime, but it does, you know, it's the world of board gaming and the world of podcasting and content in general have both grown and evolved and changed over the past decade. decade in mostly, I think, very good ways. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to think that we're leaving the podcasting and board game worlds a little better than we found them. And mm-hmm. I think if that's all we accomplished, that's a pretty good thing to have done. And so I hope that we've done a little bit more than that. Obviously, from the really lovely comments that we've been getting from people online, I believe that that is the case. But we were just originally three women, now two women, who wanted to talk about how much we love board games and make sure that other women and underrepresented groups in the board gaming hobby knew that they belonged. And that's about it.
I think we did it.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. We want to thank Gray Fox Games for being a longtime sponsor of our show and awesome humans. Please support them by buying their games and showing them some love. We may not be releasing more episodes, but the Blitz community will live on. Join fellow Blitzketeers by joining the Board Game Blitz Discord for game nights, discussions, and more. Did you know you can help board gamers find our show in the future? Please take a couple minutes to rate and review us on your podcast provider or by showing off your Blitzketeer status by purchasing some Blitz swag at merch.boardgameblitz.com. Want to just give us money and enjoy some unique perks? Check out our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time,
we hope our show was good for you. Maybe helped you find your player too. We will miss you, but it ain't no lie. Gamers, bye, bye, bye. Bye, everyone!
Everything's still plugged in.
Yep.
I think
we're good. Marriage, divorce, twins, anything. Are we still plugged in?
Yep.
Plug the cord. Microphone mishaps. It does not matter. Then we talk about the lessons we've learned after 10 years of podcasting about board games. I don't really think that's accurate anymore.
Talk about that.
Okay.